This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Battle for Malaysia on BFM 89.9.
Sharad and Uma with you. It is 2:26 p.m. We are currently awaiting Tun Dr. Mahathir's impending cabinet announcement. But while we wait for that, we actually have on the line independent business analyst and friend of the show, P. Gunasegaran. Gunnar, thank you so much for joining us today. What are your expectations, sir?
I put up a list of maybe 10 people, you know, who can be considered for the cabinet. But I think the some of the major points would be Mahathir himself may not take any other position besides Prime Minister. That itself will be a full-time job. And that will be in keeping with the governance issue where you don't have the Finance Minister and the Prime Minister, the same person. So, and then on top of that, the Deputy Prime Minister will, of course, be one of these. And I feel maybe she might take, if there is an important position that she takes, it might be home. So that's a sort of like a governance kind of a position. So to take care of, to make sure that security and things like that are kept going during that period, during this period where there's some amount of uncertainty. And also to ease the process of Anwar Ibrahim becoming Prime Minister later.
Gunnar, Sharad here. The question of the shape of the cabinet, because there was a lot of talk in the last couple of years about the cabinet being bloated. It was extraordinarily large. Now we're looking at a smaller number of people in cabinet. Could you explain to us both the question of size and responsibilities and perhaps also the assumed agreement, the ratio between the parties in terms of those cabinet positions?
All right. I think what is going to be announced now, I believe, are only the 10 core ministries, which Dr. Mahathir announced earlier. So, but I don't think this will be the final size. There are a number of important ministries which don't seem to be covered there. You know, for instance, health. You know, so you probably are looking at a number bigger than this. But this is the core cabinet that is going to announce now, and then the other positions might be. Might be announced later. Apart from health, you also have, say, for instance, there is nothing about primary commodities, for instance, you know. So those kind of areas are not taken care of yet in the cabinet.
Gunnar, you know, one of the ministers, one of the ministries that was announced was a new one called Ministry of the Economy. What do you have any speculation on what that might be? I mean, my initial thought was it was like going to be the EPU as a ministry.
Yeah, in this case, with Dr. Zetti's presence, I think, around the area where the announcement is going to be made, I believe the Yayasan Selangor building, she apparently went into the building. So she might maybe take economy. So, of course, that will have to be done through the senator route because she's not an MP. You know? If not economy, then it might be finance. But I would tend to think she is more suitable for economy rather than finance. Having been Bank Negara governor before, where she has tracked the economy very closely, and she is very well versed with the subject at hand. Finance deals with a lot of other things, which maybe requires the presence of a politician.
Now, Gunnar, in your article, you do mention several individuals who have not won a position in Parliament, and you just explained to us that they could get into Parliament via the upper house, as say individuals like Idris Jalla have in the past. Rafizi Ramli, because it's top of your list, why did you put Rafizi there?
Rafizi, I think, has a pretty good grasp of finance. He has been tirelessly working for governance within government. Quite a number of things he has exposed. Unfortunately, one of the things that he exposed, the National Feedlot.com, got him into trouble and a conviction, which has actually prevented him from standing for elections. So as far as the legal side is concerned, I'm not very sure whether a pardon will be required because he's got a number of cases which are going on at this point of time. So I think if you're looking for an elected MP to fill up the finance minister post, I can't think of anyone who would be better than him. He's also very hardworking and he's got a good grasp of financial matters.
What about Tony Pua? He's often mentioned in with regard to that position, and he of course has his the adequate credentials as well.
And also, what's more, politically, Tony Pua commands the biggest majority in the country.
Yeah, that was because he's partly because his constituency was so large in the first place, because of the earlier gerrymandering, which put even more people into his constituency.
That's right.
Yeah, but I think he will be able to do it as well. But there might be others, other things which he can do, perhaps, you know, even say multimedia and or trade and industry. Trade and industry, strangely, maybe it would come under economy. It's not in the list of 10 that PM Arthur has actually, you know, put down.
You know,
all ministries.
Gunnar, there used to be this idea that the ministries represented the relative, and who was in those positions represented the relative strengths of the parties, their dominance. We used to be that MCA took the finance ministry. This is because in the very early days of the formation of Malaysia, and then UMNO took over that position. It was seen that there were cabinets positions that were about parties and how important those parties were to the coalition. Do you think that's going to be the dynamics going forward?
I hope not. I think you should just pick the cabinet based on who is the best person that you have to run it, you know, and not according to party. So long as you have some kind of a loose reflection of the each party's strength in terms of parliamentary numbers, you know, even that need not be accurately reflected if there is some amount of reflection, because you still have to consider, say, the composition of the racial composition of the country as a whole, you know, those kind of things for political correctness and appearance are also important.
Gunai, are you expecting any surprises? I think seeing Tan Sri Zetty in the building was a big surprise. Are you expecting any other surprises?
Really don't know as far as that is concerned. The rumors float, but sometimes these rumors are not worth reporting. Mentioning again, because there is no way to confirm them. But I think what is different from the previous cabinet is that here you have a very good pool of relatively young people to pick the cabinet from.
That's right.
So, yeah, you don't want your cabinet to be entirely filled with older people. You want to build up a leadership base. And the younger ones are quite capable of doing all of these things. I mean, 30 year plus. They have a lot of energy. They are dedicated. They are committed. They are very well qualified in what they have done. So I think an opportunity should be given to inject a lot more, professionalism into the cabinet. So that's important. You need technocrats.
One last thing, Gunnar, before I let you go. In your piece, you also spoke briefly about Gobind Singh Deo, and you said that he was highly principled, speaks his mind, and something that's necessary right now to keep the cabinet on the straight and narrow.
I think every cabinet will benefit from someone who is always looking at things from an ethical point of view. You know, so that's important. So, for instance, now you have, party hopping already taking place. Is that something which should be permitted? You know, someone has got to raise this question at the very top levels. So you need people who have a very strong ethical base in the cabinet, who will basically question things which may not be very proper in terms of what the cabinet is doing.
Okay, one last question for you. There's a lot of speculation as to whether Lim Guan Eng, who's been the chief minister of Penang, might take a cabinet position. Do you think that's likely, considering his background and what he's done in Penang and what the shift to the federal would mean for him?
I would think that my guess is that the story is out there that he's not going to be chief minister of Penang. I think that will be more or less what will transpire. In which case, it's a very strong possibility that he will go to the federal side and he'll become a minister. As Secretary General of DAP, he's the most powerful person and the person who runs DAP. In fact, he is considered to be higher on the party hierarchy than even his father, Lim Kit Siang.
Well, Gunnar, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll go. We're going to get back to you after the conference, press conference, with those announcements. So then, all speculation will end. We are going to cross over to Keith Kam shortly about the press conference held by the UMNO Youth Wing with regard to what they think is they're clearly going to be making a statement soon.
Right. We've been speaking to P. Gunasegar, an independent business analyst. We'll get back to him after the cabinet announcement as well. Here's Eric Clapton with I've Got a Rock and Roll Heart on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.